WMFO. And good afternoon, everyone. And here we are, back in the studio. WMFO is in Medford. And the studio is at Tufts University on the campus, right here at Curtis Hall. Ah, so far so good. And it is, you know, I think it's probably close to 80, if it's not above a little bit. Not too humid, but it's hot. So it's summer, it's appropriate, and we'll take it. So hope everybody's doing well today, and doing pretty good myself. So I'm going to start us off here with an important message from the Boston Science Lectures. If you are interested in science and engineering lectures in the Boston area, there's one great website to keep you up to date, and that's BostonScienceLectures, all one word, .com. Each week, journalist and author Fred Hapgood monitors more than 420 different organizations in the Boston area to keep you informed about interesting scientific, engineering, and other nerdy events. Most of them cost nothing to attend, and some even give away free food as part of the event. Ooh-ah. So check out BostonScienceLectures.com. This public service message has been sponsored by your lecture-loving friends here at WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio. Ta-da! Oh, my goodness. So I don't know if anybody out there knows much about pussycats. I have a new pussycat a couple of weeks now. He's been really fun and great, but he's been scratching a lot, and my vet couldn't figure out what, not gnats or ear mites or fleas or any of that. And unfortunately now there's a little hole that he's kind of tearing away the hair. It's kind of a little diamond shape on his shoulder. Right in the middle. So the vet is going to be in on Friday, so I don't know. It could be food allergies. I don't know. Or just a change of where he was before. So he's such a sweet little, you know, kitty. He's not so little, actually. But if anybody has any info, you can email me at thevoicemobile@gmail.com, and I'll appreciate any suggestions you might have. One of the folks at the... there's a Belmont pet store that I've gone to, and she suggested it might be an allergy. This was even before, you know, it was just about the itching, the scratching and stuff. It might be an allergy to the food. So we'll have to see what's going to be with that. But anyway, I have some exciting news in terms of, some of you know, I have had many tech issues about my computer that I bought several months ago. I couldn't seem to get it working, and I have to say my friend here at the station, Bob, helped me out with my computer, my laptop, and with the decks that were all screwed up. He came in. It's about an hour for him to schlep in here, and I hadn't been here because of the COVID stuff, so he switched out the decks and fixed things up and retrieved my CD, which I had totally trashed, but he managed to copy things for me. So yay to Bob. I mean, just fantastic. And then I brought my laptop, and we spent a couple hours, and he was able to get it working. So he actually installed the Zoom app, which I had tried to get, but I never completed the process, apparently. So today, I actually attended a Zoom meeting on my laptop. Wow! Not on a phone. It was a revelatory experience. And I was a half hour early, so I was like, where is everybody? And I kept thinking, well, something's wrong here. But it was right. It worked. And I'm just so grateful. So that's huge. Now I have to figure out how to connect my printer, and I'll be in really good shape. So all that stuff having been said, we'll start off with something from Sheffa Gold called Chance Encounter. And the Zoom that I attended, a woman who I have just met on Zoom was leading us in a special gathering for the new month of Tammuz, which we're in what we call Rosh Chodesh. We acknowledge the Hebrew months, the head of the month. And it's the month of Tammuz, so I'll be sharing more about that in a bit. But Yeah, it was very nice. It's just a brief half hour, but very packed and very wonderful. And so the chain of how things goes is my friend, Esther Leia, connected me up with Erica, who I've been working with, and she connected me up with Asher Zahava, who's in Jerusalem. So met some women on the Zoom, who actually, one woman is living in Syracuse, and I'm from Utica, so that was really interesting. And some of them, including Asher Zahava, had actually lived in Boston. So it is a small world. I guess it is. Here we go.
Made my mountain strong. Hey, Marita, the Harari. توهیم بنیسوی نوشل با سر با دم یانو آنو آنو با این بنیسوی نوشل با کوی آتی رو آتی آکوی
Okay, that was the Kibbutz Artsy Choir, and it was from a CD called Songs of Israel, and we just listened to Melodies or Nigunim. Before that, we heard from Ofer Chaza, and it was from her release Temptations, Le Vo'al Toch Aperach. Avraham Fried before that. This CD is called This Way or That on Sameach recording, and the song is Al Tiro, and we opened up with Sefer Gold, Psalm of Thanksgiving. So WMFO Medrid here, you're listening to The Voice Mobile. I'm your host, Joyce the Voice. I don't know, maybe I didn't even say that. So I'm just going to share with you something I just found on my Google feed about what space weather experts are talking about, a mysterious burst of solar radiation that could, quote-unquote, sideswipe Earth today. Coronal mass ejection, a massive eruption of super-hot material, was fired from the sun on June 26th. Coronal mass ejection is also referred to as a CME. It's a huge expulsion of plasma from the sun's outer layer called the corona. Space scientists aren't sure whether the CME will hit Earth, but predict it has a chance on either June 28th or June 29th. Experts at spaceweather.com explained there is a chance of minor geomagnetic storms on June 28th and 29th when CMEs might sideswipe or even directly hit Earth's magnetic field. Now, usually, when you have that kind of activity, you do see the Northern Lights, but they didn't say anything about this. It said the strength of the potential solar storm has not been estimated, but it is believed to be low and therefore poses no threat to humanity. Okay. However, even weaker solar storms can cause weak power grid fluctuations and have a small impact on our tech. Haha. They can also impact satellite communications. So I'm mostly interested in that maybe we might be able to see some Northern Lights down here, but for whatever reason they don't mention that in this particular article. So they have in here garlic scape pesto and 12 ways to use it. I actually tried. I bought garlic scapes in the market. Today actually is the farmer's market here in Arlington, and I think it's a couple of other places too. I usually try to stop by on my way home. And anyway, I tried it. The flavor was good, but it was kind of a little bit tough. I don't know, maybe I didn't prepare it properly, but the garlics themselves were delicious. And so just looking to see, they didn't say anything more about Northern Lights, so okay. So I wanted to share, well, let's see. Where am I going here? Seeds and Sparks. This is a book that I often refer to at different times of the year. It's by Avraham Aryeh Trugman, and it's inspiration and self-expression through the cycles of Jewish life. And I believe I set a marker for where I wanted to read from. Let's see if it is. Yeah. So the month of Tammuz, which we are now beginning. During the month of Tammuz, we begin the period called the 3 weeks, the time period between the fast of the 17th of Tammuz and the fast of Tisha B'Av, the 9th of Av. On the 17th of Tammuz, Moses broke the first tablets upon seeing the golden calf, and the walls of Jerusalem during the time of the temple were breached, leading to its destruction 3 weeks later on Tisha B'Av. In these two instances of breaking mirror an even earlier event in creation, the primordial breaking of the vessels spoken about in Kabbalah. This archetypal event symbolizes the underlying imperfection of reality, along with our more optimistic mission to rectify reality by lifting up the fallen sparks. It's our job. This ongoing existential tension is alluded to in the statement in the Zohar, "Weeping is wedged in my heart on this side, and joy is wedged in my heart on the other side from the Zohar. Another historic incident occurring in the months of Tammuz and Av is a story of the spies in the desert who went to spy out the land of Israel, which is detailed in the book of Numbers. Their trip, which included the entire month of Tammuz, lasted 40 days, ending tragically upon their return on Tisha B'Av. It was on that fateful day that 10 of the spies reported that they would not be able to enter the land, thus causing the people to cry to return to Egypt. Oy. According to the Sefer Yetzirah, the sense of the month of Tammuz is sight, while the sense of the month of Av is hearing. The spies' faculty of sight was only able to see the land of Israel superficially. The people's hearing was blemished by their listening to the evil report and accepting it at face value. It is clear that they were not seeing deep enough, and their hearing lacked true discernment. From this we can learn that the rectification of the spies is to learn to see much deeper than the surface level, and to understand much more deeply the implications of what we hear. In relationships, this means to always look at the soul within a person, to empathize and see the bigger picture of each situation, to judge others favorably, and to learn to constantly stand in another's shoes. Not an easy thing to do, folks. To hear what someone is really telling us between the lines, also not so easy to do. What his heart is crying out to us. We need to see on one hand how in every broken person and situation there is the potential for true wholeness and rectification, while at the same time, beneath the superficial veneer of reality, there is a broken world all around us. A Hasidic Rebbe taught, there is no vessel as whole as a broken heart, from the Degel Machane Ephraim, Parshat Yetchanan. We need to be just broken enough to feel and relate to the pain of others, but not so broken that it prevents us from acting positively and forcefully to heal, mend, and fix wherever we can. It is the essence of walking the tightrope of life, or as Rabbi Nachman of Breslov said, the whole world is a very narrow bridge, but the essential thing is not to be afraid. Well, there's a little bit more, but I'm going to leave that for maybe next week. So this is talks about inspiration and self-expression through the cycles of Jewish life. Rabbi Avraham Trugman. So let's see.
Once you said you loved me, place no one above me. Pray for me to make them vow. What damn thing that I say? So busy being blasé. How I wish you'd ask me now. I was vain and blind, then prone to be unkind. Then wish they'd turn back time somehow. Then I was audacious, I ignored what was precious. Oh, how I wish you'd ask me now. Oh, I thought then I'd always be to make than the loss allowed. You asked me, could I care? My attention was elsewhere, and how I wish you'd ask me. Then I'd always be a footloose and a fancy free. Oh, tell me, how could I have been so blind? What I want to make light of turns out to be true love. What's my ego prove me, flatter me and fool me more times than the last allowed. My attention was elsewhere. How I wish you'd ask me
שמן ששונך וריך, בר יוחאי נמשכת אשריך, שמן ששונך וריך.
מלכות, שכינה,
בר יוחאי, שמן משחת קודש, נמשכת ממידת הקודש, נשאת הציץ, נזר הקודש, קודש חבוש על ראש כפריך.
יסוד אור, יסוד עולם,
בר יוחאי, מושב טוב ישבת, יום נסת, יום אשר ברחת, ממרד, צורים שעמדת, קנית עוד חווה את דרך.
שתימונדים לימודי אדוני הם לא עומדים, אור מופלא אולי קודם יופתי, הלא הם לא רוחם מורך. עציצים מופרחים נעשה אדם אמר בבורך גבורה גבורה בר יוחאי נזרת בגבורה ובמחמת אש נתשערה וחרף הוצאת מתערה שלפת נגד צור עריך בר יוחאי למקום עד משייש הגעת לפני אריה לייש גם גולת כותבת עלייש תשורו חדש חודשים שבע שבתות צור חמישים קשרת קשרי אישים כשעריך
Wow, that was gorgeous. Bustan Avraham, a CD release called Fanar, and the song is called Solaris. I think there's a frog in my throat. So, wow, great group. Laura Wetzler, before that, Kabbalah Music, Songs of the Jewish Mystics, on Nervy Girl Records. I love the name. Bar Yochai was the name of that. And Chiara Civello, from her CD, and the song was Ask Me Now. Oh, Ask Me Now. I've got it spelled wrong here. Let's see if I can correct that. We've got this wonderful software that, this is a Monk selection, actually. I still didn't do it right, but we'll get it there. Okay, now that's good. And before that, I think that brings us up to date. So here's something very interesting from this fabulous Israel 21st Century. It's a site, says, Why Scent, S-C-E-N-T, is the next frontier for technology. Scientists and entrepreneurs are increasingly turning to scent to help detect disease, boost memory, entertain, and protect people from food allergies. It's by Brian Blum, and it was posted on June 27th. They've got a wonderful picture up close of a nose of a dog. I'm very interested because I had a number of nasal surgeries. I used to have terrible nasal polyps. Now I take Dupixent, and it has really made a difference. In fact, I almost forgot to take mine this morning, but I did remember to take it. And anyhow, I don't have a sense of smell. I'm using some strong essential oils to try and retrain my sense of smell. But so far, I mean, eucalyptus, something strong like vinegar or chlorophyll, or anything really chemical, that I can smell. Anyway, it says, one of the most upsetting COVID-19 side effects for many people has been the loss of smell and taste, sometimes continuing for months. While Israeli tech hasn't solved that problem, the country's startups are at the forefront of altering our relationship with scent. I'm going to just interject something here. Of all of the senses that we have, hearing, seeing, touch, and so forth, the only one that wasn't defiled by some manner was the sense of smell. And so it has a very prominent place in Jewish tradition. We use incense and sweet-smelling scents for after Shabbos to sort of guide us back into the work week because, you know, it's kind of a transition. And we also know that this incense from the temple was really important for that incense to accompany the sacrifices, and it also was able to forestall death. This is something Moshe learned from the angels when he went up to heaven. They taught him that secret, that the incense can stop a plague. So it says, whether that's consumer applications such as smell-enhanced movie theaters, oy, devices that include non-invasive sniffers that can detect diseases, that would be good, or artificial noses designed to identify explosives. Ah, scent tech is looking to be the next big whiff. Interesting. Well, you know, if you can't smell, which, you know, if you've got something burning on the stove, you're not going to smell it. And that's a big problem. You have to remember to put on a timer, which I don't always remember to do. And I often do burn my pots because of that. So the issue is how to distinguish one scent from all the confounding factors and scents around it in order to get a robust signal to rely on, explains Technion Prof. Hassan Hayek, who is credited with jump-starting the local scent tech scene with this pioneering lung cancer sniffer. Take ethanol as an example. Anyone, can you turn that off? A gentleman came to clean and he's got his phone going. All right. Anyone can detect this. It's very easy, Hike says. But here in Haifa, we have 1,000 other compounds in the air, fluctuations in humidity and temperature, other contaminants. So the challenge is not to detect the ethanol per se, but to discriminate it from the other compounds. Anyway, it gets pretty technical. So I just thought that was fairly interesting. And all right, we're almost up to the top of the hour. This is WMFO Medford. This is The Voicemobile. I'm your host, Joyce the Voice. Happy to be here with you today.